Well, good morning, everybody. 10 minutes after, 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And for the next 2 hours, if you're around and you want to talk about cars and oil and sales techniques and what you should do about this and that and all that kind of stuff, then it's easy. Give us a call, 602-508-0960. We talk about car stuff here. I'm an ASE master technician. I own a shop. We work on cars, and I've been doing radio in the Phoenix area since 1988. I've been to two stations. I've been to KKNT now for 10 years. And it's fun, and it's but the name of my shop's not important. None of that is. This show is my giving back to people who have car questions and they want answers, and I'm happy to give them to you, and I think most of you will agree that their answers aren't going to be self-serving. And I'm not directing everybody to my shop. The fact of the matter is there's lots of good shops in town, and I can direct you to there. I'll give you an example. Action Auto Repairs up at I-17 in Deer Valley. I've known Tom since 1983. Tom knows the difference between right and wrong. He knows the difference when a technician is telling him the truth and not telling him the truth. Tom knows the difference in how to hire people that want to accomplish the goals, like we want to overbid just a little bit on every job so we can come in underneath it, that kind of stuff. So if you're up near the I-17 in Deer Valley and you don't have a repair shop, Tom's shop, Action Auto Repairs, on the northwest corner of I-17 and Deer Valley Road. The phone number, 602-508-0960. We have four lines open. Jake's on the first one. So if you have a car question, or if you have a dispute in your family about some car issue and you want somebody to chime in on one side or the other of the dispute, that's fine too. 602-508-0960. And like I said, four lines are wide open right now. But let's go to Jake because he's been waiting. Jake, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good. Yourself?
I'm good. I'm north of the dirt, and everybody's talking to me this morning, so I'm in good shape.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I just want to say I appreciate everything you do on your show. I've learned a lot.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
So my problem is I've got an 02 Dodge Ram 1500. I went out yesterday morning to try to start it to go to work. Put the key in the ignition. It cranked over. But it set the alarm off, and it wouldn't start.
Okay, now, when you say it cranked over, did it crank over at normal speed, but the engine didn't catch? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because starting and catching and cranking over and stuff is important. So, basically, we have a crank, normal crank, but no catch, no run. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, continue on.
Normally, when I put the key in the ignition and turn it to the on position, it'll shut the alarm off. That wasn't doing anything. Also, my gauges won't work on the cluster. I plugged an OBD2 reader into it. It won't connect to it. I've got the alarm to go off. I did that by unlocking the passenger side door. But all I can get is, I've checked all the fuses, I've switched around relays to see if that was it.
Okay. Well, if it cranks over normally and it doesn't start, it's because that you've lost fuel or spark. But the alarm is kind
of...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've also checked the fuel rail for pressure. There's a little pressure thing. I know I'm getting fuel to the fuel rail on the motor. I've also tried putting starting fluid into it while starting it. And it sort of tried to fire up once, but it wouldn't do anything after that either.
Okay, now you're fading in and out. So are you on a microphone, or is your phone moving from your face or something like that? Because I'm getting everything that you're saying. I have some questions, so now I need to ask you some questions. When it cranks over, is it cranking over at normal speed, or is it slower or faster?
It seems to be the normal speed.
Okay. And the real concern I have is I think the alarm is telling us something, because low voltage on the alarm usually causes all kinds of problems to the alarm system. It makes it where sometimes you can't shut it off or you can't turn it on. There's just a lot of problems with the alarm system. But if it cranks over at normal speed, it doesn't appear that we have a problem with you know, being able to deliver 9.5 to 10 volts of power to the starter. Your fuel pressure thing is not very valid. The fact that you pushed a button and you got fluid out of it doesn't mean anything. You probably need 40, 50, 60 pounds of fuel pressure to squirt on the injectors. But then you said that you used, I think you said ether, and you couldn't get the engine to pop, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we need compression, we need fuel, and we need spark to fire that thing up. And so what I'm hearing you say is that it sounds normal when it's cranking, so I'm going to assume it's got compression. How many miles are on it, by the way?
180,000.
Okay, 180,000. Has it got a distributor or a distributorless ignition system?
It's got a distributor.
Okay. You know, it sound, we need to check for spark, so you need to pull one of the spark plug wires off, you need to put a screwdriver in it, you need to hold it kind of close to a piece of metal, have somebody cranking over to see if you've got snap, snap, snap. Typically, the same crankshaft sensor and camshaft sensor are going to talk to the module and provide two things. It's going to pulse the injector to give you fuel, and it's going to pulse the spark. So it's going to give the cylinder the spark at the same time. If you have spark and fuel and it's not popping, it's not trying to start, but it cranks over, then there's a good chance that you probably have a timing chain that's out of it. And the easy way to do that is rotate the engine up to top dead center, pull the distributor cap off, and the rotor should point towards number one or 180 degrees from number one. But this is pretty easy for us old guys to be able to figure out what we got, but spark, fuel, and compression, those are what we need to get it running. And your fuel system test isn't work with anything, but if you spray ether in it, that should have made it pop, but it didn't make it pop. It wouldn't run on ether from a can, but it would pop. It would try to start. So if it didn't do that, then I'm really confused because we need to check for spark, but maybe your spray of ether inside the carburetor or inside the mouth of the throttle body or the air system, maybe, I don't know. But I would check for spark, and if you don't have spark, then you got to go backwards and find out where. And the first thing to do is pull the cap off the distributor and watch the rotation of the distributor of the rotor as you crank it to the count of 1, 2, shut it off, then crank it over 1, 2, and shut it off, and make sure the distributor is moving smoothly through its 360-degree stroke. If it's jerky, herky-jerky, and it's not moving smoothly, that's probably because the timing chain's come apart. The timing chain has come, or the gears have come apart. That's the best I can do with the information you're giving me.
Okay, well, yeah, that's all the information I really have. I'm looking online, everything was telling you the computer or the PCM or something, and I always feel like that's just sort of usually not the problem, but...
Well, change the question.
I want to get somebody else's opinion.
Change the question. Mark, how many times do you replace a PCM for a no-start? Once every 10 years. How many times do you do... what was the other thing you said, a PCM and something else?
PCM.
Okay, ECM. Okay, PCM and ECM. How many times do you replace those? Maybe once or twice a year. How many cars do you service every day? 30. Oh, so the odds are pretty slim on a PCM or ECM. Yeah, they are. So you can go out there and talk to Mr. Google and all of his family and all those other people out there and stuff like that, but they're no better. They don't ask questions, and they're presenting themselves as some kinds of experts, and they don't understand fuel, spark, compression. I've explained that to you. I think I've given you enough to where you can go in and find out. If you want to find compression, pull one of the spark plugs, move the wire away, put your finger on the hole, and have your wife crank it over. And there should be no way in God's green earth that you can contain the compression in that motor. So it's going to pop your finger off. But the spark plug wire is way over here, so it's not going to bite you. So run a compression test and have your wife crank it over. She cranks it over like this. 1001, 1002, 1003, she lets go of the key. So for 3 seconds, she cranks it over. It better blow your finger off. If it doesn't blow your finger off, then the timing chain's gone, and I've diagnosed it for you. That's how it's going to work. Anyway, good luck to you, Jake. Good luck to you. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we have another caller. Who might that be, Gil?
Say good morning to Wayne.
Wayne, good morning.
Good morning. I have another pickup truck question.
Okay.
It runs on compressed natural gas, so it's a CNG vehicle. And the receptacle at the pump hose, when I hook it up, it makes a noise like gas is escaping, and it didn't used to do that, and it smells like gas. I asked one of the guys that I met at the pumps, and he said he had that problem, and he tightened it, and it went away, but mine doesn't seem to be loose.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that at all. I'm the CNG stuff is not something. I mean, it doesn't even represent a tenth of 1% of all the cars out there. So it's not likely I'm going to have any equipment. But I can tell you that the connection on the fill portion of the CNG is a problem with many people. And it's unfortunate that he didn't come over and show you what he tightened on your car that fixed his, but wherever you go for CNG, those people almost always are experts in that system, and I would depend on their eyeball examination much more than anything else. So, can you get it running and drive it?
It runs just fine and everything. I was going to ask if you had a referral for somewhere to go to take it.
1 minute.
I'm up in the North Valley, North Phoenix.
You really need to take it to the people that deal with it, because if you take it to a regular shop, they may find that this connection's loose or this connection's leaking, but they're not going to have the gaskets nor the tools to take that apart. You know, there's a big CNG guy in Mesa, and he's been a CNG guy forever. And I wish I could remember his name. He is just a wonderful family of people. I think you need to Google CNG, Mesa, Arizona, CNG repair, CNG leak. Use some of those search words. You're going to find him. Of all the people in the valley, his name is the one I've sent people to, and I've never had a complaint. Never. And he's not on my list of car repair shops because he does CNG vehicles, and that's not what we're all about. But do the CNG search with Google or Safari or whatever you use. But I'm pretty sure you'll be able to find the big dog in Mesa who installs it and repairs it and fills them. He does all of that.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks.
Okay. Good luck to you. And if I remember it, I'll think of it. But right now I can't. Anyway, we have five lines open: 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we'll be right back. Okay, Wayne, maybe you're still listening. Wayne was my last caller. He had a CNG truck, and he was leaking CNG when he filled it up. And I told him I knew a place he could go to. But in the break, and my kids taught me how to use Google and all that stuff. Wayne, hopefully you're still listening. The place I want you to go to talk to is CNG Services of Arizona. CNG Services of Arizona. You're going to talk to Dave Clement. And his address is 439 North Clement in Mesa, Arizona. I've known the Clement family for 40 years, and I couldn't get the name out of my head. But I guarantee you that Dave Clement can help you get your truck fixed. So it's CNG Services of Arizona. Talk to David Clement. All right, let's go to the phones. Hector, good morning. How can I help you?
Morning, sir. I have a 2003 Toyota Corolla with 160,000 miles in it. I had changed the spark plugs, air filter, cleaned the throttle body, and the mass airflow sensor like 2 months ago, and it's been running like a good, but it still felt kind of sluggish, so I figured I'd take the fuel module apart and change the filter and the sock. I put it back in, put it all together. It cranks normally, but it takes me pressing on the gas after I crank it twice in order for it to get started. So I don't know if I just screwed up or... Other than that, it runs great once it gets started.
Yeah. The fuel module with the filter, where is that located? Underneath the hood or back by the tank?
Back by the tank. Under. I have to take out the back seat. I didn't change the whole fuel module because of the cost. I needed, I figured if I took it apart, just change the parts that I thought it would need.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did. But it's under the back seat on top of the tank.
And is there a priming process? Did you run across any priming process to after you open it up and pull the filter out that you go back and you shove the air out and put fuel in? Was there anything like that?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. I didn't even know there was a priming process.
Okay. Is there any Schrader valves up underneath the hood on any of the fuel lines from the pressurized electric pump in the back? We normally send... We normally send 30, 40, 50 pounds of pressure forward, and there's going to be a Schrader valve where we would normally hook our gauge up to check the pressure. Now, this is something that you're going to push that little Schrader valve in with the rag over the top. You're not going to be cranking the motor. You're just going to push the valve and get hopefully, if you get air, that's good because we want to get the air out. So you push the valve in it, and it sprays some air and then fuel. Then stop doing what you're doing, start it up, get it running, go drive it, bring it back, and do that a couple of times. That might very well remove the air that you didn't do when you replaced the fuel filter, and I'm guessing.
Oh. You know, it's got a quick connect. I looked for one of those valves, like you said, because I wanted to check the pressure, but it has a quick connect, and I don't have a kit to check the pressure.
Okay.
Is that maybe a something?
Yeah, when you turn the key to the on position, it's fuel injected, so the pressure can be anywhere, but I'm going to tell you 30, 40, 50, 60, so it's going to be somewhere around in there. And when it cranks over but doesn't catch, can you squirt some ether in it or some carb spray in the air intake and get it to start and run?
Well, it'll start after it cranks normally for a second. I have to stop, and then I crank it in, and I press on the gas pedal a few times, and then it'll start.
Okay.
So it starts fine.
Yeah, gas pedal shouldn't have anything to do with it. The throttle position sensor is going to tell the computer, hey, he's got his foot on the gas, but it could be, depending on how hard you're pressing the pedal, when you push it all the way to the floor, that's called a clear flood mode. So otherwise, you're holding your foot to the floor because you think the motor's flooded with gas, and the computer sees that and shuts off the gas. So I want you to avoid pushing on the gas pedal to get it running. Have you put 20, 30 miles on this since you did this last work?
Yes, I have.
Okay, because the reason I ask you that is oftentimes if there's air in the system, that long driving and those short trips and stuff like that will work it out. But I think the next thing that you have to do is you have to get a fuel pressure gauge, and I would call AutoZone, O'Reilly's, CarQuest, NAPA, and see if they have something that you can rent. And oftentimes they'll come out and just check your fuel pressure with the car in the parking lot. If that's the case, I would take a fire extinguisher with you. Because, and I'm not making fun of those guys. That's not it. My guys are not allowed to go out there and check fuel pressure without a fire extinguisher, because you hook up your gauge and you think everything's okay. You go around, you hit the key, and you crank it over and crank it over and crank it over, and you don't know that we've got a broken Schrader valve, and all of a sudden we got fuel everywhere, and then all of a sudden some errant spark causes the whole car to go on fire. So it's just a safety thing for me. So, but that's what I do, is I check with some of the auto parts store and ask them if you can rent perhaps the gauge and have them show you how to use it, or just go there, let it sit for a while, and then put the gauge on and then turn the key to the on position. You don't really even need to go to start, because once the key goes to the on position, the computer is going to turn the pump on.
Okay. Okay, I guess. So if it doesn't show good pump or anything, do you happen to have an idea of what it could be then?
Well, we have to start with fuel pressure, because we're going to need 30, 40, 50 pounds of fuel pressure to spray on the injectors. I'm a little concerned because it seems like we don't have any fuel pressure, but then we do have some fuel pressure, and I'm really concerned. And the real variable, that's why I went to the air. We have a contamination of air in the fuel system, is because that's the only thing I can think of. I know that most shops, most of us old guys understand your car quite well. The checkout fee would probably be a half an hour, and you drive it in, explain what you got, and then you demonstrate what you have to them, and then they're going to run some fuel pressure tests on it real quick. But again, you can do that yourself if you just get a gauge and get some directions on what the information you're going to get, how valid is it. But other than that, you probably... What part of town do you live in?
In Santan Valley.
Way east, way south and east, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have anybody out that way. You'd have to come into Thompson's in Mesa on Main Street and Stapley. That's the closest guy I could pull from you. That whole Southeast Valley area is so new. And unfortunately, I have a rule that I won't really refer unless somebody's been in business for 5 years or longer, and there's a whole lot of moving around of auto repair shops and stuff out there. So somebody will buy it, put it in, bring it out of the ground. They'll be there a year. Somebody else will buy it. And until we get 5 years, I'm a little uncomfortable about talking about the benefits of using a particular shop. So I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, Hector. Thank you very much. David, you're up next. How can I help you?
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I have a 2013 Ford Fiesta, and it rides like a stagecoach. It feels like it's going to spin around on me. And I've gotten a couple quotes on shocks and like $1,900 to do front and back. I can't really afford to do them both at the same time, so I'm just curious what your recommendation might be if I have to choose front or back, what to do.
Okay. I'm only 20 seconds away from a break I have to take, so I want you just to stay right there. But I want you to try to think about these questions. When you drive down the road, I want you to drive and have your wife sit in the back car, back seat of the car, or take your son or whoever, your best buddy. But I need you to sit both in the back of the car and the front of the car, because I need your butt to tell you which end of the car is really got the worst vibration. That's where you start, and then that's where you're going to put the shocks. But for right now, just stay right there, because I'm going to pick you up in about 3 or 4 minutes. 602-508-0960. 34 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock, and I'm Mark Salem. We're talking about cars. You're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960. Automatic Transmission Exchange, Phil, who owns Automatic Transmission Exchange, has been in the Phoenix Valley area since 1968, and he's been fixing transmissions since then. He has made an abnormal progress in from the old transmissions to the new electronics, 6 speeds, 8 speeds, 10 speeds, and we've got a computer for the transmission, and we've got all these sensors that tell it what to do and all that stuff. He can do all of that. So he's the only transmission shop in the town that I can send you to. He's good at what he does. So if you're in Central Phoenix, he's on 40th Street in Washington. Otherwise, kind of centrally located, but Automatic Transmission Exchange is the place I go. David, I'm going to ask you a question. You say it rides like a lumber wagon. Is there a rhythmic vibration, or is the whole car shaking, or what?
Like if I get into a little bit of a bumpy area, and it doesn't have to be much, it feels like the rear end is just is fishtailing.
Okay. Oh, beautiful. Okay. I think you have a bad tire. I want you to do this.
Really?
I want you to get in a car behind it, and I want you to follow the car that's got this problem. And I want you to look at the two rear tires, and I'll bet you that one tire will have complete, the rotation of one tire will be completely different than the other. Now, if you want, I would strongly suggest you do that, because I think you'll really be educated if you see the two different tires acting completely different. and one is really smooth and the other's bouncing around like crazy. You can stop by any discount tire you want and have them check all four tires for any tread separation. They do that for free, and they'll air up your tires for free as well. On your shock absorbers, you can buy a cartridge, which means you have to take the entire strut assembly out of the car. That's not easy. You have to unload the spring, and you better have a spring compressor to put the spring back on and a spring compressor to take the spring off. And so it's a whole lot of work. And if you buy a complete strut, then you're buying the strut, the upper mount, and the spring, and that's where you're getting into those big dollars that you talked about. So there's a lot of variety in the middle of all of that. Somebody needs to look at it and say, do we need springs? No, we don't. Good. We're just going to use a cartridge. Otherwise, we're just going to put a new strut in the assembly. So we're going to use the same spring, the same upper mount, because it's good. We're just going to put a new strut there. But I can't imagine anybody diagnosing the whole car needs struts, because if you have a bad strut, you only have one corner of the car that's going to act up, and that's going to be directly related to the strut. So I think we need to drive it or take it to discount, have them check the tires, and let's eliminate the tires, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much. Right. I appreciate your wisdom.
No problem. Chris, you're up next. Chris, how can I help you?
Morning, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
I looking at a 56 Chevy truck, and they chopped the top like 3 inches, so it doesn't have the original windshield, and it's all cracked. Do you know of any places that make special order ones or?
Wow.
yeah. I buy it, you know, so I don't know. Because they got the great big sweeping curves.
Yep. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have a 55 Chevy pickup outside the barn I'm looking at right now that's got 23,000 original miles. It's a one-ton. It's got the six-cylinder with the 235, little one-barrel carburetor. So I'm real familiar. I want you to call Tom Blackwell from Blackwell Automotive. If anybody knows the answer to your question, Tom does. He does heavy modifications on old cars. And so he's going to know somebody who can build a windshield or can adapt a windshield, or he'll know the aftermarket person who builds that windshield for your truck. But your best shot is to call him and just get information from him and tell him if he's going to charge you to help you out, tell him to just bill me, okay?
Yeah, I wish it was that simple, yeah. One other question. Now, a truck being that old, the VIN plate is somewhere on the door jamb. This truck didn't have one. Is that going to create a problem or not?
No, you can get a new VIN plate. You're not going to get one from General Motors. You might be able to get one from General Motors, but the state of Arizona has stickers that they can replicate the VIN and put it on the door. That's not an uncommon problem with old vehicles. And so you just go to a motor vehicle and have them do a car inspection, take your title with you. They have the ability to see that your title, this truck is titled under this VIN, and you own it, and you have a driver's license that says that you own it. This isn't really that tough of a thing to do. So you can get a new sticker, but you're probably, and you can try General Motors and say if they'll make you a new sticker. I think your chances of that are about as slim and none as possible. But the state of Arizona can give you a new VIN plate, not a VIN plate, but a sticker for the door.
Okay, Mark. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You bet. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. If you have a car question or a comment or a problem, or if you and your wife are having a problem and just trying to decide whether you need to put premium or you can use the cheaper gas in your brand new Jaguar, then give me a call. Those are the kinds of questions that we have fun with and that I get in trouble with a lot. So again, 602-508-0960. We've got 5 lines and you can get one. Well, welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and we're going to be here for another hour after, so another hour and 15 minutes, if you want to call it that. The lines, I've got David waiting right now, but I had a gentleman that called in, and he said, windshield washer fluid, Mark, what do you put in your cars? And windshield washer fluid, you can buy it in a diluted form that's already pre-mixed and ready to go.